settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the show that's designed to help you unravel the truth about the nature of your existence, and that is your physical existence and your non-physical existence. Through our gifts of mediumship, my husband Mick and I are able to bring you communication direct from the spirit world, from deeply loving but highly evolved people who care about our welfare and the well-being of our planet. The idea is that armed with knowledge, we can become self-empowered by creating our own reality based on truth and the awareness of the bigger picture of life. So if you'd like to call and ask us a question, tonight's show topic is part three of the secret analysis, and we're talking about the law of attraction, basically. So if you have any experiences about this, or if you'd like to talk to us about anything and ask Spirit a question, then do join us. It's toll-free. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there is any international callers, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on pbsradio.com, every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and every Thursday at 1 PST, we also have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. And you can hear that on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, our work for Spirit, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at spiritsworkradio.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and on the show each week, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. And because he is a spokesperson for a group of highly evolved individuals from all walks of life and specialist subjects, we are able to bring knowledge and wisdom that could never be gained in any other way. When I go into trance, my consciousness and my spirit will be taken and transported by the scientific members of the team, and Gregory will borrow my body to speak with you. I will not know of anything that has transpired during this time, and so, unfortunately, I miss everything about the program. But I'm going to say goodbye anyway now. And, and don't forget as well that we have a 22-minute excerpt of one of our live trance presentations, and you can hear and see that on VO.com, that's spelled VEOH.com, and you can actually gain that by going on to our index page at www.spirit-teaching.com, and actually because the video's on there as well, and a whole bunch of other pages throughout our site. So do take a look at that to have an understanding of what it is that we do in reality.
Well, yes. I mean, yes. A lot of people, obviously everybody hears Gregory every week, and it's obviously nice for you to be able to see him, so you can see that for nothing, and take your glasses off, Mick.
Oh, yes, that would be a good
Mick,
idea, Mick,
we're just going to go off. Gregory with glasses, I could be doing with that. Okay. So that would be really exciting. And also, if you take a look at it, do forward it onto your friends. Spread the word. Anyway, sometime after Gregory's physical death in 1723, he was asked if he would like to train to be the representative of an educational group who wanted to help the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life, to assist us on a road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet. This group is called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds and experts from all avenues, including ordinary people who have valuable input to make. And this is why, through our shows and our books, we hope to cover just about every subject conceivable. It's all about observations and facts. And this may also then help those who are to come after us, who want a physical life on Earth. Our medium for the group is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And like I say, if you want to join us this week, it's in the US, 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-815-9726. And international callers, not toll-free, but it's 001-530-876-3222. And tonight we're talking about the secret analysis, which basically it started off with part one, talking about the DVD, The Secret, and about the law of attraction. And in fact, what we have been calling it for many years is positive harmonic propulsion. And many other people obviously have known about this law of attraction for many years and also use it. But it's become popular and more famous by this DVD, which is great, you know, absolutely great. But we're trying to expand on the analogies in it, in the whole process of being able to, basically what it implies with the law of attraction is that anything that is within your field of thought goes out, and if you desire it strongly enough and take action towards it, that you reap the benefits from those thoughts. So, but that actually includes negative thoughts too. The universe will correspond to the nature of your thoughts and feelings and manifest what you are feeling, basically. So you're attracting what's in your prominent thoughts, whether they're conscious or unconscious thoughts. And we're just sort of taking a little excursion into the ins and outs of, and what this actually means to everybody, not just the successful people who are telling us about it. So, hello, Gregory.
With love and life, and peace be upon you, my dear friend.
Thank you. So, last week we ended up talking about, just before the end of the show, I was saying that it was easier. How come it's easier to stay on a negative path? It seems to be easier to stay on that, in that role, rather than a positive pathway.
Yes.
It seems that we all start off with good intent and then feeling positive and enthusiastic about life and whatever. And then if we get knocked off a little bit and go into the negative zone, it seems to be very difficult to try and scrabble back.
Yes. Quite simply, there are a number of reasons for this. To begin with, of course, it is actually because of the fact that the vibration of negativity is actually much closer to the human physical state. I suppose you could say that human physical state, which is much more recessive. So it means to say, in fact, that you are choosing a more recessive gene pool or image from your life than you are choosing one which may be more difficult to attain because you have to put more work and ethic into it. The point that you have to remember, I feel, as physical beings, is that in order for you to be able to access that which is positive and powerful, absolutely, and beautiful, it means to say that you actually have to have an active part in changing your own structure, your own integrity, and raise your vibration to that of which is more beautiful or more defined. Now, this may not seem a difficult task, but if you think about it too long, it actually becomes more difficult because you are constantly refraining back to the same legacy that you had previously, which was to that of negativity. Oh, that is too much hard work for me to do at this time, at this moment. I'll revert back to what I know best, to that familiarity. And that's part of the problem, really, of the human condition that many people feel is quite familiar for them to actually be able to just take part in one specific form of reference of vibration, and not to actually transcend that vibration which you are, put a little bit of work in, and actually raise your vibration to a different level. And by doing that, you are actually then, of course, attracting a different vibration from the spirit world, and also from those around you. So does this mean to say then that all animals, surely by this trait, must mean that all animals are negative, because they do not know about the ascended spirit, perhaps, or the gainful morality that human beings aspire to make in order to transition their spirit vibration, their physical vibration, with their spirit, to access this greater vibration, to access this happier and more fulfilled life role. It does not mean that at all. In fact, most animals automatically are just switched on to the beauty and the excesses of the wondrous vibration of positivity and goodwill. It's only when animals are cornered, or when they're in fight or flight for their lives, that animals actually then transcend into the more negative roles of displaying that they have to protect themselves for their own lives' sake.
But I mean, it's something actually. I will continue with the animals, but it's actually okay. Something that you don't actually think about, though. You know, when you're on this positive pathway and you slip into the negative zone, like you said, it's easier, but it's not a conscious thought. We don't actually think. It's just, what is it, familiar? It's easier, but it is easier.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a familiarity. That's the point. And it's regurgitating the same thoughts and processes that one had before you had the thought.
Well, yes, but also it can be a case of you come across a few days of being extremely lucky, everything's going your way, the checks are coming in, oh, I don't know, everything's just hunky-dory.
Yes.
And then something happens that's negative, and then something else happens, and then something else happens, and it's almost like you're two people.
Yes, it's like negativity comes along in threes as well. That seems to be one of the situations. Oh, well, I've had one bad thing. I'm just waiting for the second one to come around the corner, and there it is.
And there you were thinking, okay, I'm this positive person, and,
yes.
And I'm going to do this, and I'm really forward-thinking, and this is going to happen, and I'm going to make my life work. And then all of a sudden, there you are, you're back in...
In the same place.
Yes, in the end, I was going to say unhappy, but...
Yes, the unhappy zone.
Unhappy, frustrated, why did it always go wrong, sort of...
Yes.
Feeling, you know?
Yes, of course, I understand that many people, maybe they will put it down to perhaps interplanetary activity bringing about a distress upon your life. Perhaps that is also zoned into something which reflects about your particular birth date, or whether the moon was rising at the time of your birth, or at what point of the zenith was it fixed at the point of your birth, or where, in fact, the other planets were particularly aligned at the point of your birth. All of these, of course, many people have a fixation upon and will be guided very strictly by the connotations and the evidence produced by these different alignments of planetary bodies that are supposed to actually have an influence upon the physical life. But it's also, of course, to do with the fact that some people may even feel that they're in this trough of bad luck, a large run of bad luck, perhaps. It stretches over 7 years. But many people, I understand, also have a fixation upon 7 yearly cycles, and how it is that various aspects or attributes of the physical life tend to have an elliptical journey around your life in these specific cycles. And I say, in fact, that there is an element of truth to that, quite simply because the situation of your DNA, your cell activity, and the way it is structured means to say as well that your energy cycle of the elliptical force that is within you that is, your physical force as it is making its way upon the planet, is something which also runs in cycles. Of course, these cycles can be interrupted by such things as a change in your diet or the atmosphere in which you live, your environment, or many other changes and statistics which can become available depending on what actually happens to your life and whether you are interactive with other people's lives and that kind of thing. I wouldn't put a negative slant upon it. However, sometimes it acts negatively, or other times it will act very positively. What we are looking at here, of course, is how to actually change yourself from being this negative being into stepping upon a different wheel of life, if you like.
Yes, purposefully.
Absolutely.
It is very easy, isn't it, to be positive and happy when you're rich and influential. I mean, I'm not saying...
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying that...
I was never rich myself.
No. I'm not saying that these people don't have problems because, obviously, you know, there's ill health, there's all sorts of things. They might not actually have any friends,
yes,
for a start.
They're
genuine friends. But, you know, it is a lot easier to be happy when when you're very wealthy and have some, influence, really.
Yes, but perhaps, though, the realm of problems then seem to mitigate into a different stimulation of disasters, or what it is that you make up your mind to be a disaster in your life. After all, you're not actually going to worry about where your next meal is going to actually come from, how you are going to acquire that extra meal or whatever for your life. In other words, how you're going to survive. If you're constantly living on the edge, then that is something of a great problematic scenario for you, and must be obviously of great distress as well. However, there are some people who will live perfectly happily upon that margin of life, quite simply because that enables them to be more and more in touch with the aspects of not of habit as such, but rather of the animalistic, more survival techniques that human beings actually rely upon at various other stages of their life experience and journey. Doesn't mean to say that this is just something, of course, which is always only displayed in this kind of severance from material wealth to personal desire to actually live another day.
Yes, I mean, it is a lot easier to be positive and happy, and it goes together, really, surrounded by beautiful things. Whereas, you know, if you're in a tenement block somewhere in the middle of the city, it's a lot... I mean, do you dream for different things? Now, how can I say?
Yes.
Do people who have lots of money actually wish for bigger things, if you know what I mean? How can I say this?
I think that it's really material to do with whether a person is actually going to survive and knows that they're going to survive the next day, next week, next year, or whatever. If that is something which is self-assured, then their dream sequence and the statement of what it is that they actually focus upon in their dreams, and perhaps also maybe to do slightly with the sequence of their dreams or what they actually have room for in their lives, may suddenly be crowded by a completely different set of scenarios. It may well be, alternatively, that the person themselves actually becomes deep-seated in a religious stance, quite simply because they don't have any other problems to deal with, so it actually turns their heads into thinking about actually where they come from. Alternatively, of course, this can well be the domain of someone who is completely poor and maybe even living on the street. Who's to say that the person, the penniless beggar whom you meet upon the street corner or something like that, or looks like they haven't had a bath for a month or whatever, what of their dreams? What of their secrets?
That's what I mean, though. I mean, they are going to be sending out their thoughts for the law of attraction, and what they're going to be asking for probably is, you know, a roof over their heads and just to be a bed, a warm bed to sleeping at night, and food. yes. or something like that.
Yes.
Whereas the other person, you know, might be with the law of attraction, wishing and putting out their thoughts for more millions or for, I don't know. Yes. You know, I'm not saying, I don't mean in a selfish way, but
no.
what I'm saying is, what I think I'm saying is, the law of attraction, does it match? I know you're supposed to get what you send out for.
It doesn't always happen.
It doesn't always happen. No, it doesn't always happen. But the thing is, we have to believe it's going to happen because that's what it's all about.
Well, of course.
Because if you don't believe it, then it's not going to work, is it?
No, not at all.
No, quite so.
But that's part of the problem as well. I'm sorry to interject here, but that's part of the problem as well because the chances are that someone who is homeless and in denial of their own life affection, if you like, or unable to reach that form of perfection for themselves and in their happiness, it may well be that they do not dream of anything like the things that you would expect. Perhaps they're much more simplified.
Yes, I know. And what do they get? If they send out their thoughts for certain things, I know, because they say that there's no limitations to what you can get back. There is absolutely nothing that you cannot do or achieve with the law of attraction, if you do it properly.
If you are completely focused within the law of attraction of that which you desire, not in a selfish way,
mm-hmm.
but in a way which is perhaps more embracing to your particular state in life, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
then that this should be something that you can achieve. I know, however, that there are many people who are just praying to have their six numbers come to them or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is in order to change their life style and experience forever.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems to be that very often the people who actually win such a prize actually already have a house and a car and a yacht or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but that's not, I mean, that's just asking for the one thing, isn't it? That's not living their life by using the law of attraction. They don't wake up every morning.
No, I know. I know I'm being
very specific. They probably only think about it on once a week or twice a week when they do the lottery or something.
Yes.
And they want it very badly then. But it's not actually putting out to the universe, is it?
No. And yet, you see, you may well have a homeless person who is actually putting out to the universe and actually stumbles upon a bin which has refuse in it, which is absolutely edible and will keep that person going for the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And so who can say that a person's denial of what that thought should be as they send it out to the universe, perhaps with many people looking at it from a spiritual point of view, that it should be something of that kind of nature, or perhaps even on the most basic of levels. But if you have someone who is in that kind of predicament, then you are looking at completely different sets of values.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is someone, perhaps, shall we say, a child who is being bullied at school. They don't want to be bullied at school, and perhaps they are trying to send out the thoughts and gather their minds so that they are not immersed in this wicked spiral of self-loathing or whatever that they go into because they are being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
That's something which then, does that mean to say that if they go into the spiral of self-loathing, that they're actually then going to be bullied again the following day? Probably so.
Yes, well, what about if they're walking to school the next day and thinking that I hope I don't get bullied today. Is that attracting it to them? If they're thinking, I hope I don't get bullied today, I'm a little fearful.
Yes, well, it is a part of the problem, I have to say, my dear friend, because children who are trapped into that cycle of violence, not brought on by themselves, but actually brought on by repeated efforts of others who are actually attracted to the innocence of that person and how they can raise their own power and level status over that person and actually glee. They actually attract a great deal of upward momentum by their ability to be able to do it. So actually, they are gaining happiness out of someone else's loathsome state
mm-hmm.
of their own self-image.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, of course, also something which then can gravitate for that person into continued acts of violence toward other people because they've already got a gratification from it. And that, of course, then becomes a form of attraction that they're sending out. So that is still a positive trait that they're bringing to themselves. I know a lot of people will be shaking their heads at this, but it is still a positive trait as far as they're concerned because they're becoming happy at someone else's misfortune at their hand. And so you may see that people, and I know I'm turning this completely on its head, but then you may well see that someone who is happy from the activity of what many people would describe as being negative because their morality tells them so, in actual fact becomes a positivity for that person who's creating it, quite simply because of the immense amount of pheromonic activity that comes about because they're carrying it out.
Yes, I can understand that. Yeah, I mean, that, well, we could talk about that for ages because,
yes.
I mean, that goes into the realms of drugs and...
Oh, absolutely.
And all sorts of things.
Absolutely so.
Fears
so,
and phobias and...
Yes, and I know that many people will quite balk at this, but the point is that I'm trying to say to you is that many people just use their own morality as a gauge of what is or is not supposed to be equitable with a positive field event. That is raising your vibration. Who's to say that the person next door who's a child molester does not raise their vibration by the erotic feelings of molestation that they have when they are bringing their power over some helpless child?
Yes, but that's not the same sort of raising of the vibration that we're talking about when
one
are...
Hope not.
Yes, well, exactly, but we have to clarify this. We're going to get into trouble.
Well, yes, but that's what I'm saying, though, you see, that really from a humanistic point of view, that many people confuse that which they aspire to reach because their morality, due and code, depicts that they should reach this or that they should look at this because they already have a specific standpoint from which society has dictated to them, you must think in this way in order for your morality to be of beauty, so say.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that is the structure, if you like, and something which you are being told, you are being fed that this is the condition which brings peace, which brings love, which brings the upliftment of the soul, if you like, and the continued ascension to your spirit of your life journey, and the way this may then bring about the instillment of love and good vibration and also, of course, gravitate these beautiful things to you. I'm saying also, this is something, and the same technique is used by people who also gravitate to fear or loathing or poor self-image, distrust, because their morality code is different. Who is to say or to define that the spirit world or the laws of the universe are going to be necessarily structured to combat or to understand that some people actually, their morality code doesn't match what human beings state is morality. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying. The universe as a whole, as such, even looks at the ravages of one animal to another and doesn't say that that is morally wrong. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
So you have to be careful as to how you as a person look upon your morality code, and that in order for you really to think the highest and best and really, really, truly to be able to ascend your vibration to something else from that which you have been and attract this love and positive energy and, yes, indeed, the things that you really want in life, then you have to agree that maybe some parts of your morality code are not as shiny as you would like them, or not perhaps quite simply fitting to the situation or the occasion, because you are using your morality as defined by others in your group, in your section of society.
But don't you think people that do things like that, that they may, when they aren't having those urges, wish that they didn't feel those things, and that they could attract a different lifestyle to themselves.
Completely agree.
Yes.
Yes, but those are the moments that are few and far between, and it may well be that that is the way, the doorway home for them. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, really, that just because one batch of society thinks in this way doesn't mean to say the whole society does. And that how you have to show different sectors of people or different people who have been brought up morally different to one another, as everyone is, mm-hmm. because everyone's different. Mm-hmm. It means to say that you are battling, in fact, with the code of secrets. This forming of a secret for one particular slice of the community, perhaps, mm-hmm. is something which... it means that the individual really has to own up to accept that maybe certain aspects of your morality, even if you are someone of beauty and light, does not necessarily mean to say that all of your life is like that, or that you do not at times harbor thoughts which are of others, maybe, from other people's minds, maybe. And that those thoughts may actually perhaps at times bring down your vibration, or at other times give you realization as to the standing of who you really are, and try to perhaps empower you to think above that or beyond that.
Okay, I'd like to say thank you for those that may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about the Law of Attraction. If you'd like to phone us with a question, it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, and the number is 001-530-876-3222. And that's not readings. We don't do readings. It's a discussion about the Law of Attraction. And if you have a question relating to that, then we'd love to hear from you. So, would practicing the Law of Attraction by these people who aren't, that we would say, of sound mind, say like paedophiles and that sort of thing,
yes.
Would practicing the Law of Attraction work for them in the way of actually turning a corner for them in that, so stop them doing that? Or is it a genetic thing, you know?
Yes.
And it's that physiological word again that I always get my tongue.
Yes, I wouldn't say, well, you managed
it. I did it then, yes.
Yes. The point is that I would have to say that really to do with something like that, it's not genetic. Let's remove that as a way of explanation of why it is that certain people like to molest children or like to have power over children. It's actually a symptom of environment. That's the point to make. Mm-hmm. And that as such, it means to say that you have to really move back into that person's ultimate history to see how they became that motivated without it being corrected by those who were supposed to be bringing them up into the society.
All right, okay.
And so that is really what it hinges upon. And so you would perhaps look upon many different aspects of social morality or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and it all really comes down to what it was that your parents structured around you and how that became a significant part of your life, whether it was whether it had walls around it or whether it was something that was just an open system of own self-governance, which is usually the case. So it means to say there are no actual guidelines, there are no actual bars to the promiscuity that one has. Now, I'm not saying that by the same intonation that it means then that people who are genderly differently based or something like that, or people who are perhaps... I hate the word deviant. I really don't think it applies at all. Different.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather use different. Differently orientated in their sexual preferences rather than how they were necessarily born. That doesn't mean to say that it's a slur upon that person. Not at all. That's a completely different thing.
So would the law of attraction, let's say, if a paedophile would stick to that...
Well, yes, for the moment. I know many people...
We'll go off of this in a minute.
Yes.
Okay. So if they practiced, in the law of attraction, if they actually practiced sending out their thoughts for more children... And more of that to happen,
well,
is
yes.
that something that's going to come to them?
Well, that's what I'm saying, really. You see, you may well have a section of community of people who, because they have this attraction of what it is they desire, they go out and find it. It's just exactly like a lizard going and looking for a cricket. It wants a cricket because it wants to eat one. It's the same thing. It's the law of attraction, which is the law of the universe, which is actually at work. It's part of that person's DNA, that being's DNA, perhaps, but it's also a part of their instinct. Now, so does that mean to say that instinct isn't all DNA? Exactly so. A lot of instinct is about the environment and about how that being has become acclimatized to that environment in order to survive, in order to find the things that nourishes it. And that is exactly the same as a paedophile. What it nourishes upon is a child.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever form that comes, and however that is presented, is something which that being actually nourishes from that energy. And that is something bringing self-attraction. I know a great many people will be absolutely in horrors over this, but it's the truth. And I'm sorry that some people find the truth unpalatable, but it's how you, as a human being, must learn to guard those thoughts and feelings that one has, which I know that we are talking here about whether a certain community has a specific morality code, and whatever that code is what everyone else has to live by.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like saying that you have a certain set of orders that is brought about by other minds who are supposed to be, supposedly, more above, more beautiful, more ascended, more transparent in their thoughts, more loving in that event. And that you rely upon that context in order to perhaps show you how you should live your life. And that great sectors of society thoroughly enjoy that principle and live by it. And that's what keeps the structure of a society together. It's why you have to do it, quite simply because of the numbers of people which are involved. However, if you lived in a really fractured society, which did not have that indication, didn't have that leadership quality within it, then you are going to fall in even greater decay and allow such behavior to continue.
Where does quantum physics come into it, into the law of attraction?
Well, the problem is that the laws of the universe are not necessarily applied to physical, mathematical equation or to the ways in which you are wishing to work out how the universe is actually made. So if you have a problem which defies all mathematical equation, then you would glibly call it, oh, well, it's a quantum problem then, because you cannot actually manifest something physical which is non-physical. Or you cannot actually extrapolate, perhaps, to the nth degree how a problem may be resolved given a certain set of circumstances as should be depicted by the laws of the universe. Equally, the laws do not apply in one specific dimension as they do in another, because the universal energy is different. It's differently formed. It looks different. It feels different. The energy that is in the three-dimensional space of Earth physical time travel is something which is linear. It's physical. It's the product of one and one. You have a place on here, and you have another place over there, and everything that you do is moving in between two points. If you are looking at the situation of an equation, shall we say, of energy in a different time field or in a different dimension, you aren't using the same values. Or they may well be similar points, but in reference, that in order to reach to somewhere that's just 4 inches in front of you, you actually have to travel halfway across the universe to find it. Quite simply, because that dimension doesn't work in that way. You see?
Well, I think so, Gregory.
So, if you have the product of one and one in physical time, and you want to actually relatively place your thoughts in the dimension of space in which you live, and also send them out to the universe, who is to say that the thought that you sent out has actually gone anywhere? It may not have to go anywhere. That's my point. My point simply means that just because you feel you figuratively send it out to this place that's far beyond there, it's way over there, perhaps beyond the sun or certainly beyond the moon, perhaps certainly it will be within a different dimension that you scheme in your own mind that's a long way away. It must be because it's in heaven, or it must be because your thoughts are being sent to somewhere else upon the planet, hundreds of thousands of miles away, or rather thousands of miles away. Can't be hundreds of thousands of miles, otherwise it would just be going round and round the planet. So, the system that you are engaged in is this thought of rigorous time and space. How you relate to this in this moment, and what you think of in the next moment, is the experience of your thoughts travelling from leaving from you to this other dimension, this other hidden space. But I'm saying, it may not necessarily take any time at all. It may just be, bang, there it is, immediately. As soon as you've thought of it, you've sent it out and there it is. So this whole business of saying, oh, well, it takes 17 minutes to send a thought or whatever, or 17 minutes in order for you to, you have to keep thinking because it's a very long way away, you know, the universe. 17 seconds then, whatever. Rubbish, absolute rubbish. It just goes to show that person doesn't know what they're talking about. It just goes to show that if that person was really wanting to step outside into the different dimension, they wouldn't have moved. They wouldn't have gone an inch, because the other dimension is right where you are.
Okay. What happens if when you send out your not only just positive thoughts to somebody else, but say you are you want somebody who you know to maybe get some better luck in their life. Maybe they need a house, they need somewhere to live, they need a car. They're desperate. They're very nice people, and they have some terrible bad luck. And you want to concentrate.
It's like you, really.
Very funny. Yeah, and you want to concentrate on your energy every day, all the
yes.
time, from the minute you get
yes.
up in the morning,
yes.
purely on these people.
Yes.
What do you reap back for yourself? And is it possible to do that? To change somebody else's good fortune?
It is possible to change someone else's fortune. However, they have to also be thinking of it too. You cannot just wish of it of the universe. Please, please, please send this to that person. They also have to be, perhaps, it's not that they are thinking of it as well throughout their whole being or anything like that, but at least you would hope that they would perhaps be, well, maybe they are innocent enough to think that perhaps the energy of the universe doesn't want to help them. That may make a difference.
Yes, maybe they're not the sort of people that you could approach that would
yes.
even, you know, think
yes.
that was possible.
Yes. However, I'm not ruling out the possibility that if you had a collection of people who sent their loving energy toward a family, perhaps, who had, shall we say it's a family who lost their house and possessions and everything that they possessed in New Orleans, shall we say, and that due to that awful weather that they had there, and that the situation, nothing to do with their own, anything else that they brought about in their own lives, it was something which just happened to them. They didn't attract that energy or negativity. If you, as a collection of beings, get together and think of that person and will for them to receive something of great benefit and really, but do this in such a way that is completely selfless, not imagining for one moment in the mind, what am I going to get back for doing this? But then it can happen.
It can happen. A specific thing like a house for these people. Something like that.
Yes, quite possible. However, I have to say that much of this tends to happen and is left undefeated, if you like, quite simply because society allows it.
And that's not the law of attraction anyway, is it? That's something different.
That's something completely different, yes.
If you were to do that.
Yes. But the problem that you have in your physical society at present is that you are molested every day by multinational corporations who actually have taken it upon themselves and have been given the chance to use all of their expertise and take all of their profit out of situations of disasters that befall other people. Because that is the nature of how they have been allowed to grow and exist.
Are there lucky people and are there unlucky people?
There are people who are in the right place at the right time and many others who are not.
But we all know somebody that we think is a very lucky person for so many different reasons.
Yes,
and then, you know, they're just continually lucky. And then there's other people that we know that it's just, you know, oh gosh, you know, it's just a disaster. How does it always happen to them?
Yes, especially, I suppose, you would have, for example, people who go through diseases one after another.
Well,
there are
those health things too.
Yes, the health situation is extremely important in this way. And I would have to say that there are a great number of situations to do with health afflictions and that kind of thing, which actually can be remedied by and large through the product of the mind, through the product of understanding how to achieve wellness without pills.
Really?
Absolutely, yes.
By positive thinking?
By positive thinking, by changing and altering your lifestyle, the things you eat, the water you drink, everything. By changing your thoughts and your attitude will change your life.
So it's sort of like, so you imagine, it's like you can imagine yourself slim and to help you to lose weight. You imagine yourself healthy?
Well, yes, but of course you have to do it. It doesn't mean to say that you can imagine healthy
but
and still eat a pile of biscuits.
But it's a positive, yes, but is that part of it? Is there imagery and that sort of thing that goes into it as well?
Yes.
And knowing that you can be this person. That you can be this fit person.
Yes, absolutely so. It's all about an attitude and product of mind. Mind is an essential key, which is why we try to convince people, really, to learn to subjugate the mind, to use the mind and manipulate it, learn to manipulate it, because then it will work in your favor.
And you know, the funny thing about that, what you've just said there, is the fact that most people are learning how to manipulate somebody else's mind.
Yes, absolutely so, yes. Yes, it's always somebody else. Oh, no, it's their fault. It's never your fault, you see.
Yes, we're always trying to get to manipulate somebody else's thinking to think like us.
Yes, that's quite true, yes. Yes.
Isn't it? Yes. But, I mean, if you're into the habit of letting others run your life and have great, great sway on your mind and your thinking, then they will be determining your life plan for you.
Absolutely. So where's your free will?
Yes, exactly.
And how on earth are you going to be able to attract to the positivity, loving vibration of that which you can ascend to be if you allow someone else to rule your life and paint your borders for you.
Well, exactly, and this can be a problem with loved ones, close friends, or whatever. You know, often there's somebody, because everybody in the family has their own life plan, their own laws of attraction,
yes,
and it doesn't always mesh with the other person's law of attraction.
No, of course not.
Either they don't physically actually like what they're doing,
yes,
or
yes.
Quite. Do you know what I mean?
How often have you heard it, perhaps, so parents saying, oh, but I only want the best for them. Yes, but it's your mind, not theirs.
That's right.
And that is so, I suppose, looking at it from our perspective, we can see both sides to every coin. Yes, of course, a parent only wants their best for their children because they want them to survive and to supplant that which they have already amassed.
Mm.
Be better than them. Mm. What better legacy can you leave to the planet than to have really felt that you have done your job well if your children are able to do something as good as or better than yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I mean, well, at what point do you sacrifice your journey? You know, like for instance, in my family, there's a family member who is very dominant, and
yes,
it means that other people around them, when they're there, have to change their way of life slightly to
their way of thinking to
yes, adopt, so they don't, yes, so that he doesn't frown on them on his. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, because on his terms. Yes,
yes, he would look down on the way that you live your life. So you have to adopt when he's around and pretend that that's not what you do and what you like to do. Because
yes, quite.
He would be sending negative energy to you, or being sarcastic, or just plain,
yes,
possibly wouldn't come round anymore, or whatever.
But that was what I was saying, you see, when I was talking and referring to the situation about paedophiles, because that person is actually using that law of attraction that they have, mm-hmm, because what they want to do is actually raise their level of vibration by diminishing yours.
Yes. That's true, yes. That's
and
right.
That's how they use it.
Yes, I mean, they
so
can
they
be...
So they use that energy, mm-hmm, and manipulate that energy in order so that they actually have to make less effort in their own life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Well, thank you, I'm so glad you agree.
No, and I'm sure everybody knows somebody like that as well, and perhaps, you know, perhaps we don't realise we're doing it a lot of the time either.
No,
but
quite,
you know what
so.
I mean? And also, I don't suppose it's doing that person a favour in the long run that you are sort of
diminishing yourself in front of them. Wilting like a little flower.
Absolutely, because for a start, they don't know you.
No, you've never really had a real proper relationship, because their perception of what your life is isn't actually how your life is. And
no.
Also, you are bending and using their perception of your life in order to subjugate yourself to their will.
So you're
not actually having a free will experience when you're doing it.
No.
The thing to do is actually say, no, I'm not that person at all, actually.
I don't think like that at all. This is what I am, this is what I do and believe in. And
yes, and sometimes, of course, people will not like that kind of attitude. They'll say, oh, he's a bit forward with me, you know. Or whatever.
Yes, very often
like
when you do stand up to people like that, in even the nicest way, they usually back down totally.
Usually, yes, because that's right.
Yes, and they're not necessarily, like, you know, not very nice people. They usually are very charming people.
Yes.
You know, very charming and likeable. But it's just that they have strong views, and their strong views are supposed to overrule yours.
And that is the problem with your planet at this present time. You see, you never knew that.
But
that is the problem with your planet at this present time, because you have some people who are so positive and so present and so full with their own thought and view and morality of the world and the way things should be, that everyone else thinks, oh yes, partly, perhaps because they do not realize that their free will has been supplanted by that person's views, and also because they just cannot simply be bothered to actually deal with it themselves.
Absolutely.
So it's their weakness that allows this situation to carry on. It's a law of their own attraction
Well, yes, and I'd like to continue on with that next week about
absolutely.
How does this affect our law of attraction when we do kowtow to people.
Yes.
I would
like to talk about
that. Just for a quiet life.
Yes, quite so.
Okay.
Do not be a dormouse, then.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Gregory.
It gets eaten by eagles.
True. All right, then.
God bless.
God bless.
With love and light.
And I'd like to say thank you for those that might have listened for the first time tonight. Thank you very much for joining us. And do visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And do visit us on Thursday at 1 p.m. PST for another Spirits Work show. And also again, obviously, on Monday. And like Mick said at the beginning, do go to our website and have a look at our little video of Gregory and pass it on to your friends. Or you can go on VO, V-E-O-H. VO.com, and you'll see it on that too. Do get in touch if you want an Akashic reading or any of the other services that we offer. Until next time, thank you for listening to Spirit's Work. Be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Goodbye.